Yes, thanks very much indeed. Andy's just taken a seat. Andy, thanks for your time the morning after. Well, a great day for English cricket before. How do you reflect on what was achieved at Chesler Street?
Well, it was a sensational match again, and it's been a great series in that regard. There's been some really good cricket played. It's been very competitive, great for the spectators, a lovely atmosphere up here in Durham. It was nice being part of that afternoon session where Broad and Cook turned things around for us.
You're 3-0 up. I mean, obviously the series has been won. Do you think you've achieved that with England playing their best cricket? I mean, do you think there's better still to come from this side?
I don't think we've played our best cricket in the series. I'd agree with you on that. But what we have done is been resilient. We've held ourselves well in pressure situations. I think Cook's captaincy has been excellent. He's been strong in the dressing room and out in the field. Made some decisions yesterday that turned the game, bringing Bresnan on, who got Warner out straight away, was a good decision. Maligned in some areas, I heard, but obviously was a good decision. Broad was outstanding. He showed real flair and competitiveness and nous and heart. So those are all great qualities that I think reside in some of these very fine players.
The series has been won, Andy. Do you now consider maybe a bit of squad rotation, maybe giving players a rest? Chris Tremnett, for example, is in the background, although Graham Ungans, we understand, is injured. But do you now consider maybe giving other players a go?
Well, look, as you say, it's the morning after. We'll meet over the next couple of days and we'll talk about our side for the fifth test. I can't see us changing much. You know, we're still representing our country in this fifth test. It's still an Ashes test, and we are determined to win it.
And it's interesting you picked up there a couple of times the role of Alistair Cook during a very intense period of play, and we shouldn't forget that at one stage Australia were 109 without loss. Do you think some people have been slow to recognise his achievement as a captain? I mean, it's easy to forget he's very inexperienced as an England Test captain.
Well, he's been captaining the international side for a little while now, but as you say, as a Test captain, he is still a young man, but he's led the side brilliantly. As I said earlier, he's a strong leader, and he's made some really good decisions in this Test series. I'm not sure exactly what is said off the field because we judge ourselves by our own standards in our dressing room.
In terms of the opposition, I mean, without being disrespectful to Australia, I think even Australians would recognise there have been stronger Australian teams who have come here to play the Ashes. Does that in any way, in your mind, weaken England's achievement to have now won this series?
Well, I mean, you're making that judgment about Australia, not me. They've played some really good cricket in the series, and it's been a tough, competitive series. The scoreline of 3-0 shows that we've won some very key moments in the matches, and we've shown real resilience under pressure. We've still got another match in the series, and we've got a long series to go in Australia later in the year. And we know that it'll be tough cricket out there as well. So we're prepared for that. But we focus on what we're doing in our dressing room and obviously have our tactics against the opposition. But I don't think it's my place to comment on them.
I know you'll always strive for perfection, Andy, but results haven't been perfect. But if you look at this summer and then, winning a series in India as well, over a longer period of time, how highly do you think this England Test team deserves to be rated? Because you can almost think about an era of success, not just one-off strong performances.
Look, this side has had some excellent results recently. You mentioned the Indian Test result away in India recently. A number of Ashes series wins. But we don't sit in the dressing room and talk about the side as being a great side. That's for other people to judge. What we talk about is how we're going to win against certain opposition, what we're doing, the skills that we need to focus on to win those matches, and rankings and ratings are for other people to judge.
Just a final one for me. I mean, it's very intense in an Ashes series, especially when the matches often come back to back. Has the splitting of the coaching enabled you concentrating on test matches, Andy? Have we already seen that helping? Is this in any way a vindication of that?
I think our new structure is still bedding in, and it certainly helps with preparation. I know Ashley Giles has already put in a lot of thought and planning into the limited overs setup, which will be we'll be going into those series in a couple of weeks' time, and it'll be nice for me to take a short break after this test series finishes, and we've already got some of our planning for the away series in operation, and then I can shift my focus to that.
Andy, that planning, and you mentioned there the return series, conditions have suited England very well and they've used the conditions very well. Are you expecting things to be very different in Australia? I mean, of course you've won there and you've got that experience, but will it be very different, almost a bigger challenge to win in Australia again?
It will be a bigger challenge. It's always a very tough series out there. I mean, South Africa, who are an outstanding side, went there recently and nearly lost to a very similar team to the one we're playing now. So yes, it'll be a tough series, there's no doubt about it. Conditions will be different. But we talked about the India series earlier. That's a good example of adapting to very different conditions. And we will have to do that in Australia if we are to thrive out there.
And getting back to number one in the world, I know you've said just now rankings take care of themselves, but to get back up there and be there for a sustained period, does that remain a burning ambition for you personally?
Becoming number one in the world was a burning ambition for us, and I think because we hadn't been number one before, I think that has dissipated slightly, and we've been focusing very clearly on this series, and after this series is over, the test team will shift its focus to the away series, and the number one ranking is no longer the clear motivation that it was. I think we used it quite well as a motivating tool a couple of years ago when we were chasing the number one position, but I don't think it's quite that, we're not quite that hungry for it as we were.
If I could bring up DRS, because it has been such a talking point throughout the series, now it's over. I mean, things went okay actually towards the back end of this test match, but there will be ICC meetings and rule changes that will come in October. You're now to almost give a bit of a review yourself on DRS and how you'd like it to work in the future.
Look, it's not my specialist area. I don't really want to go into it. It's been talked about a lot in the press. All I do know is, if we just went back to the two umpires on the field making decisions, that is not going to solve the issue. That is not going to bring about more correct decisions. So I think using the DRS and using the protocols that are in place and tinkering with it and making it an improved system, I think we can calmly go, we, the cricket community, can calmly go about improving that.